WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right?
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch. There we go. Twisted myself up for a second. If you're listening to us in any of those places, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch, you have to have a Prime Gaming sub available where you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm sure about this one. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Are you sure? Are you actually sure? Are you undecided?
You know, I don't know anymore. Life is just there. It's just a thing.
It is, in fact, just a thing. Yeah.
I got momentarily distracted in the middle of the intro. It was just like, wait, what did I say?
Did you know it's September Did you know it's September where subs are like 25% off?
Which is good because Twitch keeps jacking the damn price. So you could almost get it for like what it was originally.
It's like $4.50 at the moment. Because, you know. Anyway, tweet us at WildTalkRadio.com. Or twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight as we talk things, places, and stuff in the world of sports, entertainment, and professional wrestling.
Oh, it's been a week. Oh, it's so been a week in the world of professional wrestling. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, we're going to save the big story for the end of WWE.
Okay.
Just because I want to talk about that one a little bit. So WWE has had a couple big departures this week, and they were behind-the-scenes departures. The lead production designer, Jason Robinson, has left the company, and also their director of production travel, Michelle Carlucci, is also leaving the company.
Yeah. both have been with the company for a long periods of time. Michelle's been there in different roles for a long time. She's been in this role for a couple of years. Jason's been with the company for I think 2 decades now. The production designers are interesting, so means we may get new looks for how things are how like sets look and stuff like that going forward with a new lead production designer, I guess.
Bring in a fresh set of eyes, new perspective.
New perspective, different changing with the times. He was seen as a Kevin Dunn person.
Oh.
So he was probably one of the last people who represented it. That genre of the company with how they've changed over production in the last year or so since Kevin Dunn departed. So the new team will bring in their own people, and then you can start to create your own vision for sets and designs and how you want to handle things going forward. So yeah, it is what it is, I guess, for things like that. I don't know, it's what it is. Change happens.
Change happens. He'd been there for 20 years, and we've seen a lot of really good things come out of him in 20 years. But yeah, you know, this is a new era. This is new leadership. This is a new WWE in general. So maybe a fresh perspective is what they need. And we don't know the circumstances of why he left. But I wish nothing but good things for him. And I hope, you know, he finds his next opportunity if that's what he's looking for. Or maybe he retired early, and if he did, more power to you, dude.
I don't think this was a retirement, but...
I don't think it was either, but let's keep that happy thought that maybe he doesn't have to work anymore, and, you know, he can just go do whatever he wants.
Again, he might not have to work, but it was not a retirement. It's just sort of, hey, we're changing things. I guess that's the best way to put it. Things are changing.
Things are indeed changing. Also, Michelle Carlucci, I hope she finds her next opportunity. Production travel is interesting. I kind of wonder if that one wasn't like a merger situation. Because UFC travels, but they do not travel to the extent that WWE does. And so I have to wonder if they're maybe bringing that all under one team.
Yeah, she's been there 37 years.
That's a long time, dude. It's a long
time.
No,
27. It should be 27. This article says 37. But I'm doing the math. She started working in 1998. That's not 37. I was 28. 27. Still, 27 is still a long time.
That's a lot of years, man. That's a lot of years. So best of luck to both of them as they move forward in their future endeavors. Asuka has signed a long-term extension with the company, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, it's another one of those. We're ticking people off, adding people to long-term deals. We're going to be reporting a lot of these.
Which is a good sign. Which is a very, very, very good sign.
Yes.
Lisa Marie Baron, aka Victoria, has signed a Legends deal with WWE, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, she was very excited. She made the announcement on Twitter the other day. She was very excited. She's announced in front of some people. They're called nostalgia contracts now, apparently.
Interesting. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative.
Well, it's more for the merchandising and video games and all the things. So she's gonna probably be in the next WWE video game. She'll probably be added to WWE Supercard, and she'll probably get some action figures out of it. So
good. Get that money, girl.
Get some extra income. It's the way the world works right now. Get what you can when you can.
There you go. This is a weird one. And I'm not sure what's really going on with it, but Cody Rhodes, WWE, and Fanatics have all been named in a lawsuit over gimmick and trademark infringement, or I should say trademark infringement, not gimmick infringement, trademark infringement specifically related to the American Nightmare trademark. Now, this guy, story.
You may give you all the details?
Yes, give me the details. Explain.
So the one of rock musician Wesley Isold filed a lawsuit on Wednesday against Cody Rhodes, WWE, and Fanatics. The complaint filed in federal court in California alleges trademark infringement, breach of contract, and intentional interference with the contractual relations. This guy is the lead singer and co-founder of the band American Nightmare, which has been active on and off since 1998 and as recently as 2023. He holds a trademark registered in 2016 for American Nightmare for use in music, clothing, and entertainment services. In 2019, Cody registered the American Nightmare. Again, that's a different trademark. One's American Nightmare and the American Nightmare, two different trademarks for wrestling-related activities. He had a similar trademark, so there was opposition. They eventually agreed to settlement in 2021 before Cody came to WWE, allowing Rhodes to register the trademark. At the time, he was still in AEW. And under 7 Rhodes was allowed to use American Nightmare on his merchandise under the condition that such items primarily use Rhodes' name, likeness, or wrestling-related imagery in at least 75% larger font, like larger than the American Nightmare text. The settlement agreement was provided as an exhibit in the complaint. There was a one-time payment of $30,000. He now claims that Rhodes, WWE, and Fanatics have violated the agreement by selling merchandise items that fall or fail to meet those conditions. According to the lawsuit, many items WWE is selling through Fanatics primarily display the American Nightmare phrase with little or no reference to Rhodes or use of wrestling imagery, which the band leader claims is confusing both his fans and the band fans. And the WWE fans. Among other merchandise, there's a t-shirt with the crown on it that just says American Nightmare, does not say Cody. So apparently they get tagged a lot on social and Facebook and posts, and, you know, there's confusion in the marketplace. He sent many, many legal letters for cease and desist, all those sorts of things. He's seeking $150,000 as well as damages up to $300,000 related to the federal trademark infringement. That's where we're at.
So what it sounds like is he's coming back to the well.
It does in fact sound like that, yes.
I don't want to accuse him of anything, but like, here's the thing. Cody's been running the American Nightmare gimmick. The merch has been like that for better part of what, 2 years, 3 years since Cody returned, where it's his logo and American Nightmare. It doesn't say the, it says American Nightmare.
Right, and American Nightmare is I think he registered American Nightmare for wrestling terms, not the American Nightmare. I think it's now American Nightmare, but he was originally doing the American Nightmare. But yeah, because he's violating the thing where it's only saying American Nightmare. There's no, even though it has Cody's logo on it, it doesn't say Cody Rhodes on it. It just says American Nightmare.
But here's the thing. I mean, it's a technicality, but because the logo is tattooed on his neck, one could argue that it's synonymous with him.
It is very synonymous with Cody, yes.
So it's like, it's kind of like semantics and a technicality at this point. I'm sure this will get thrown out. I'm sure they'll settle this out of court and they'll find some way to take care of this guy. Financially, not any other way, just financially. Because it's like, my point was that, you know, they've been doing this for what, 3 years, ever since Cody came back, and we haven't heard a peep out of this guy, and now he's coming to the well to get paid.
Yeah, he apparently indicated that the representative contacted Cody lawyers back in 2022 about a crown t-shirt design, but never received a response. And then back in 2024, a few months ago, they sent a couple of cease and desist letters. And then he filed this suit against WWE. He tweeted something disparaging, taking shots at wrestling fans already. So it's my trademark, yada, yada, yada. You know, all those things where it's like, hey, look at me. I need, and then, you know, it's complaining that wrestling fans are being wrestling fans, which you knew would be a thing. This is one of those, he'll get money out of them, and because they're not going to want to deal with it. And yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, they'll take care of it. It'll be fine. But yeah, it's just a weird one. It's like, wait, you waited till now to do this? Okay, all right, you know, whatever floats your boat. Whatever makes you happiest.
Yes.
And wrestling fans, maybe wrestling fans over this one. WWE is going to be doing their season premiere in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
What?
And, you know, home of the Hearts.
No way.
And I think it was on Sunday that you guys speculated, well, there may be a Heart that shows up.
No, did we? No, we talked about Natty last week on Monday.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about Bray.
Well, that's what I'm alluding to.
No, I know, but I don't remember if we alluded to him or not. I forget. It's been a long week. Anyway,
no, we joked that Natty may show up or they may get another Heart, but, you know, they It's not Natty. It's Bret.
Well, it will be Natty too. But yeah, Bret Hart's going to Raw. Bret Hart officially headed to Monday Night Raw this week. So
that's cool. Yay. Good for him.
Get out your sunglasses. Get out your leather jackets. Scream Bret at the top of your lungs. The Hitman is coming to Calgary. I don't know. I got nothing.
I got nothing. I'm happy for him. I hope he enjoys it. I hope he has fun. I hope his fans like it. I'm not a Bret fan, so I hope everybody enjoys. But yeah, this has been a weird week in the world of professional wrestling, and now we're going to talk about it because this started on Monday. We kind of sort of alluded to it on Monday.
I didn't think we would be talking about it today.
I didn't think we'd be talking about it either, but apparently there have been some developments in this situation to the point that it is discussable. And that is that one Odyssey Jones is no longer with WWE. He mysteriously disappeared from the active roster page on Monday, and nobody was really sure what was going on. We were told it was a glitch. We were told it was other things. But it was radio silence on WWE's end, and then it was quietly confirmed, I think, that he's no longer with the company.
So, okay, so it's not there's been no official statement from WWE that he's gone. But he's been removed from the internal roster. He's no longer on the website. Like, so if you search for him, nothing gets directed there. He was not at the last two Monday Night Raws, so everyone's putting the pieces together that he's no longer with the company. It's basically been confirmed, but no one's going to officially say, hey, he's been let go. I think in 90 days, he will tweet something probably saying he's been released or whatever, I would assume. Okay, so there are rumors and speculation of why. And if what is out there is the case, then him being gone makes sense. He will not, I don't think in 86 days from now, he'll be with another company. Because if WWE is releasing someone they just put on television, and it was not because of television reasons, I think it'll be a while if he's ever brought into a company. If everything that's out there, allegedly that's out there, is true, I think people will take a hard stance and maybe not book him in the wrestling capacity for a while. Dot the I's, cross the T's, put it all together, and you can kind of figure it all out. But there's stuff out there that doesn't look good for him.
If in 86 days they can prove, like he can prove that the allegations are false, then it's entirely possible he could be booked somewhere else, but WWE does not necessarily fire people strictly on allegations, especially these kinds of allegations. For those of you, it is of a domestic variety and an abusive variety. Those are the allegations. We are not going to confirm or deny if they are true.
Because we can't. We're not lawyers. We're not people. We don't know.
Yeah, we are on the outside looking in, and we're basing it on the information that's been released on the internet. So this is all purely based on what we have seen. Not accusing him of anything, not condemning him of anything. But that has been the report of why he was let go, and supposedly let go, I should say, excuse me. Because again, it has not been confirmed. But if that is the case, and if they can prove that that is the case, then they will not announce something like that. They'll do it exactly like they've done it, where it's very quiet. They just sort of like, hey, you can play a lawyer on TV if need be. Okay, Brent, you go off. But like, they'll do it quietly. You won't hear anything else on it. He may make a statement on Twitter, but yeah, WWE does not release, especially in situations like this, purely based on allegations. We saw that during the Me Too movement, where there were investigations into people. Were all the investigations conducted properly? There's some speculation on whether they were or they weren't. But we did see people get let go because of those specific allegations that were investigated and they were proven to be true. And we've seen it time and time again since then, that when those specific allegations come up, that is handled very, very quickly and very quietly. So you can draw from that what you will based on the current situation. But we'll keep an eye on this. But this has been a very weird sort of developing story.
Yeah.
And yes, Matt, the new kickoff rule is weird. I kind of wish they would just put it back.
They can't.
They can just undo it.
No, they're not getting rid of the kickoff.
No, you just put it back.
You can't put it back.
Goodell has stupid rules all the time. You just undo it. He's the commissioner. He can do what he wants, apparently.
They believe this will work.
It's stupid.
No, it's going to force... See, what will happen is they will make it to go to the 35, and then people will be like, okay, we'll buy by your rule and start kicking it fairly and not into the end zone. They don't want kicks in the end zone. They want people to run the ball safely.
I mean, that's just safely. Uh-huh.
Anyway. No, that's why they're set up the way they are. They want it to be safe.
I don't disagree. More safety is good. More safety is fantastic, and I hope they do it safely. But the old kickoffs are fine.
You're fine, Matt. No, we're good.
Yeah, you're good. That was a good transition out of a somewhat awkward topic. Moving on with the other news, Giselle Shaw was released from TNA Wrestling per her own request.
Yep, that's. She has other things she wants to do, so she has to release this. And, hey, go do it.
Yeah. Good luck. We hope you succeed.
Exactly.
So I think that does it all for the news.
It is.
So when we come back from break, we're going to be talking all about Bash in Berlin. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and what we thought of the show. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WallsockRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
This is not another story. This is not another drill. I refuse to be another number now. Never staying down. This is something real. I'm a name that you'll remember.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on recradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And now we're going to talk about Bash in Berlin.
We are here to talk about Bash in Berlin.
This was fun.
It was very entertaining. Every match on the show had a different feel, which is what you want out of a wrestling show. And none of it was too crazy.
Mm-mm. No. No, it was like perfectly timed, perfectly paced. Because it was like, it's weird when it comes on at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Like, it's weird. And so you're like, okay, all right, well, I guess I'll just sit here and chill and watch wrestling and do other things while wrestling's on. They were really good on their pacing. They were really good on their timing. Like, everything was perfect. Everything got the appropriate amount of time. Like, it didn't necessarily leave you wanting, like saying, oh, I wish this had been longer.
No,
like everything just felt really good.
It didn't overstay its welcome. Like I said, every match had a different feel. Like the main event was more for a majority of the main event till the last 10 minutes was sort of a holds match. And then you had the mixed tag match that got a little crazy. And everything like that, everything about the entire show. You had the strap match which was wild with the finish of it. And yeah, overall the whole thing, very entertaining, top to bottom.
I have very, very, very few complaints. Let's get into the matches, which, you know, were, again, awesome and amazing. And I'm just going to kind of start in the middle.
Okay.
Because there's no good place to start. Actually, no, no. Let's start at the top because that's what opened the show. And this was Cody Rhodes taking on Kevin Owens for the former UWU championship.
UWU's not a thing. Like, that's great. You guys...
It's not going to die.
No, UWU. UWU's not a thing. Can we just stop with the UWU? Anyway, the match.
No. This was everything you wanted and more.
Yes, it was. It told a story. The match was a straight-up regular wrestling match. There wasn't much to it other than a good wrestling match for the majority of it. And then we got into the storytelling aspect of it, of can Kevin pull the trigger? And it was being berated on commentary by Weber, and like, Kevin's got to find that something. He's got to pull that trigger. He's got to be the guy again if he wants to win this championship. Because he was very hesitant at the time. Cody came off the top. I think it was Cody came off the top rope. And then grabbed his knees, like, and then he didn't go for it, like he should, like the old Kevin Owens would have. He didn't like become the thing. He didn't be aggressive with it, and he took a different approach to the attack. And then there was a spot where he could have gone for the apron powerbomb. He didn't because he just couldn't pull the trigger. And it was wow.
Let
second
the good times roll.
Second effort there.
Jabariza Bay hold. Just subscribed for 33 months. I found a lion in my closet the other day. When I asked what it was doing there, it said Narnia business.
Thank you for 33 months. Second effort on that push for a touchdown. How about that?
The push tush.
The tush.
There's
tush.
A lot of pushing going on there.
A lot of tush push going on there. Okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah. So Kevin didn't pull the trigger. And Barrett continued to hammer home the point. And there was a moment where, you know, Kevin was checking on Cody, and Cody's like, I'm fine. And then the trigger happened, and he started being a little bit more aggressive. He didn't go full aggressive, but he almost did. As he was a blatant kick right to the leg, and then sort of Kevin tried, and good guy Kevin didn't get the win. It's basically what ended up happening in the end. He did not pull the trigger. He did not make it, like, he didn't become the prize fighter as we all know to love. He was Kevin Owens, Cody's friend in the end. And they walked away holding, you know, arm on arm, holding to the back, you know. It was what it was.
I like this. It was what it was. It was a very good match. It's always awkward when they do face versus face because it's, oh, I'm the good guy. No, I'm the good guy. No, I'm the good guy. So I like that you had those moments of doubt for Kevin where he's like, he's fighting the urge, right? It's like, no, I could totally mess him up. I could do it, but no, he's my friend. And he's trying to beat the allegations, right? Like he's trying to beat, you know, the whole, oh, you've turned on everybody you know, or you've turned on all your friends, and, you know, the whole bit where it's like everybody deserved it, except Kofi. Kofi's cool. So he's really trying to beat those allegations that, no, this is not who I am. This is not what I'm like. You know, I'm a good guy, too. But, like, Kevin just kind of sitting there sort of struggling with it and struggling with the idea of, no, man, I could really mess him up. I could really take this title. I could really do something to him. But I'm not going to because I want to beat him in an honorable way. Like, yes. That whole struggle through this whole match was really, really, really good. And in the end, you didn't have Kevin turn. I think he thought about it for a second. But he didn't turn, and you have him and Cody walk away. And so I hope, I'm going to kind of agree with what they said, I believe, on Sunday, which is that I kind of hope this leads to a little bit of character development for Kevin. I don't think I want to see him go full heel. But if he begins to become a little bit more aggressive, that's great. Because I love face Kevin. I think he's incredibly entertaining. But he's also a fantastic heel. Like, he's one of the best heels they have in the company. But considering what's going on with the Bloodline and everything that they're doing there on SmackDown, I don't know if they're going to turn him. Because I don't know necessarily if he has the ceiling to be able to be that sort of top heel that we all know he can be. Because there's only going to be so far he gets, which is, and he's starting at the top with Cody. So it's like, it's only down from there.
But the thing is, the brand does need a heel.
Oh, I agree with that. Holy.
Because with Logan Paul being part-time, and then there's the Bloodline, you're then left with, who knows what type of heels you don't have. You have AJ, you have Shinsuke, but they're not being on TV a lot. There's room. And a Hunter-produced Kevin heel turn and a heel run could be something special, if done correctly.
Oh, and it would be done correctly. Like, that's the thing. It would absolutely be done correctly. With Hunter. Like, we've seen his booking, you know, bracelet jokes aside. We've seen his booking. We know what he can do. And he would do a beautiful job with heel Kevin. It would be something to watch. It would be something to see. But I don't know if I want them to do it like right away. I kind of want them to like slowly do that fade into that heel, because like I always hate when like it's good when it's good, but when they do that sudden left turn into a heel where they do the turn and it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't feel right, or it's too sudden, like it just sometimes it doesn't work. So I always love, like, I love Hunter when he does that really slow sort of like progression into a character change where you see the heel turn coming, but it's a very gradual turn. Yeah, and it's very natural when it actually happens, where it's just like, this has happened right in front of you. Kevin's just been getting more and more aggressive. He's finally had enough. And now he's going to like just mess everybody up.
And I think if it happens, I think we've already started seeing some of the signs. And if it happens, I could see it. It could happen as early as tomorrow, but I could see it happening from a month from now. Like things could happen and where Cody relies too heavily on his friend. And then Kevin becomes the friend who's like, I'm just kind of over being your friend. They made a point on television. It's been 7 years since he's held a singles title.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, something's got to give there too.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. So we'll see. But moving on, we have the tag team match for the Women's Tag Team Championship with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill taking on the Unholy Union, Alpha Fire and Isla Dawn. And this was a bit of a surprise. I'm not going to lie. You had Bianca and Jade pick up the win, which is not a bad thing at all. Like, we talked a lot about it on the show last week, where it's like, well, you could leave it on Alpha and Isla. You could have them hold it for a little while longer. There would be nothing wrong with that. Or you could put it back on Bianca and Jade, add a little bit more spark and competition to the division, make it a little bit more, you know, like the belts are moving a lot more. And they actually pulled the trigger on it. They had Bianca and Jade pick up the victory in what was a really good match. Like, this is one of Jade's best showings to date.
It was.
She looked really good in this.
A lot of it had to do with repetition. They had been working all week, as she now said in the post show scrum, where they've been on tour in its most matches she's worked in a week in her career, because working for AEW was once a week. Since being in WWE, it's been maybe once or twice a week. She wasn't doing a 4 or 5 days of back-to-back-to-back matches, so it's like you kind of get comfortable, you get your feet underneath you, and it's good for someone like her to get that experience. And as we're seeing, she's becoming a lot more comfortable in a WWE ring, working the WWE style, and being put in position to be highlighted. And that's what they did in this match. So they did a really good job with that, highlighting her strengths. And you can just tell she's working with the right talent, and Bianca's helped her a lot and kind of getting her comfortable in a ring. And yeah, I thought everything worked. I enjoyed this match a lot. Crowd did too. Isla and Alba did a fantastic job selling for the both of them. And they were very aggressive too. So I'm looking forward to the rematch on Monday.
Yeah, they have definitely ramped things up in terms of being much more aggressive and how they present themselves. And yeah, this is going to be a fun match on Monday for sure. Like, especially since, you know, Damage Control is somewhat in the mix and is sort of like right there, ready to go for whoever wins the titles, whether it's Jade and Bianca retain or whether it's Isla and Alba, they pick them back up. Like, they're making the competition, at least on Raw, incredibly fierce, where it's no, you don't get the titles and you hold on to them for a long time. It's no, you have teams coming for you. And there are other people that are sort of like nipping at Damage Control's heels as they're building more factions and more tag teams and that kind of thing in the company as a whole, because the titles can be on either brand. So I really like what they're doing with the division in terms of heating it up. It's a really nice thing to see, especially since, you know, not everybody can be in the title picture for the main titles. So this is a good way to get more women on the show, get more matches and that kind of thing in general on the card. So good job, everybody. Good job. And yeah, the reputation with Jade has helped. And we've said this pretty much from the get-go, from the onset, when she signed with WWE, was that she will get the experience that she needs. Because the biggest complaint was obviously that, you know, she's green. She's very green. She's very inexperienced, which she's never denied, right? Like, she just didn't get the exposure to the business that she needed in AEW, which I believe is one of the reasons why she came to WWE, aside from money, was that it was a chance for her to improve beyond what she had already learned. And they've taken her in and they've worked with her and they've helped her. And we've seen that improvement over time. But like I said, this was the best that she's looked, because she is working with the right people, as you said. They are making sure that they're putting her in a position for success, which is what you want.
Yes.
So everybody wins in this, except for Isla and Alba, because they lost the titles. But still, everybody wins.
Woohoo!
Up next, we have CM Punk taking on Drew McIntyre in a four-corner strap match. This was not as aggressive as I thought it would be, but it was still really good.
It was more decisive than I thought it would be. They did the tease spot where McIntyre would drag him around. They took a few shots with the strap, but they kept it, I mean, as simple as they could. They didn't go out there trying to hurt each other as much as you thought they would. They played it somewhat safe, but told a great story in the ring. As mentioned, the strap came off a couple times. It's just sort of, it was very decisive, especially with the multiple go to sleeps at the end of the match. One thing to note, they kind of pulled, you notice that they pulled out the old light system went for it. And you could tell they were old lights because they weren't like LED bright lights, like everything else in WWE production. It's like they pulled out the ones from like 15 years ago that hopefully still, they were like, hopefully they still work because it's been forever since we used them. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed the match. I thought they did good. I thought CM Punk getting the decisive win was a surprise. I thought it would be more of a fluke. But as we saw on Monday, the decisiveness pissed Drew McIntyre off enough to where he left him bloody again. So
yeah,
there was still reason for it to be a thing and have the third match most likely inside Hell in a Cell, Bad Blood.
Yeah. I like that it was decisive. I like that you gave CM Punk that win in that moment, because I feel like he really did need it. I don't necessarily think I wanted him to like luck into it or fluke into it, because I think it's important to show that he can hold his own against someone like Drew McIntyre, where it's, you know, because Drew's been out here talking shit the whole time. He's been disparaging Punk, you know, all these things, and Punk's kind of been sort of like getting him back little by little. But it's like, you need to have Punk at some point stand up and say, nah, man, I can beat you. I know I can beat you. And he sort of shows that determination and that drive that he's known for. And you had him do a couple like wily sort of tricky things in this match, which was really good. But ultimately, he proved who he is. He proved he's the same old CM Punk. They did play it safe, which is completely fine. I am all for safety. And obviously, Punk is not trying to go out there and get hurt. Drew is not going out there to get hurt. I think they booked a very smart match. I think they booked a very interesting match. It was a lot of fun to watch. Again, it could have been more aggressive, but I was kind of reflecting on this, where I was like, have we just reached a point in the society as like watching like UFC and wrestling that we're like, do we need someone to get absolutely messed up to be satisfied? Or is that like just not a thing? Like, I was just like, it was good, but it's like, I wish it had been a little bit more aggressive, just because of the feud that they've been telling, that's been sort of this like grudge blood feud kind of thing. And CM Punk did bleed. He did get cut. So there was blood in this match, which was fine. It was appropriate. There wasn't a lot of blood. But yeah, it was just like, I was just thinking about that. It was like, it was good. It was entertaining, but it's like, man, I wish it had just been like a little bit more. But maybe, but they kind of fixed that on Monday, where you had Drew just absolutely level Punk, not once, but twice. And we move forward to Bad Blood and probably, yeah.
Hey, if you want to see people just rip into each other and make them bleed and suffer, tune in to All Out this Saturday live on pay-per-view. Check out CB Radio Not So Live, live this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we talk all about it after houses got burnt down to a crisp. Ding.
Ding.
Move to the next match.
Moving on. Now, you want to talk about catharsis. Let's talk about catharsis. The Terror Twins, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, take on the Judgment Day, Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan by pinfall. And they won by pinfall, I should say. This was a mixed tag match. Everybody could fight everybody, technically, I guess, or Rhea could fight everybody, I guess. I wanted to see Rhea just beat the ever-living snot out of Dominic and Liv, and I got what I wanted. I was very satisfied with this.
She choked him out for a little bit with her legs. People were happy about that one. It was a callback, too, from the original stuff between the two before they became an item Mommy on TV. Yeah,
Mommy and Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a few things that happened in this match that I'm pretty sure the internet wouldn't mind her doing to them. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Which we now know the pin is called the pretzel pin.
Okay. I know it is something else, but okay. All right. Sure. The pretzel pin. Yeah, let's go with the pretzel pin.
That's what she's calling it.
Do you press a pretzel? I'm just curious, because that's kind of what that was. Anyway, but yeah, this was really good. I enjoyed this. This had the aggression that you wanted between the four. It's to be expected. Damian looked good. Rhea looked good. Liv and Dom lived up to their parts. They played them very well. You had the sort of like interaction with all of Judgment Day trying to kind of come out and help, and that didn't work. But yeah, I enjoyed this. And the fact that you had Damien and Rhea get that really, really decisive win was nice to see, especially because it sort of like makes up for what happened at SummerSlam. That was the last show of SummerSlam, right? Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, whatever the last pay-per-view was, it makes up for the turn, you know, in terms of Finn costing Damian the title and Dom costing Rhea the championship, and you've had them sort of like going at each other ever since. So, you know, you have Damian and Rhea get that moment of revenge against Dom and Liv, and it kind of forced them, especially on Monday, to play things a little bit smarter and be a little bit smarter when it comes to the Terra Twins, because now it's like, okay, all right, they're not screwing around. They know what's up. So we have to be just a tad bit more clever and kind of try to get ahead of them if we can, which we saw that turn, especially in Liv and Dom on Monday with how they're handling Rhea and Damian. But yeah, this was a fantastic match. I enjoyed this immensely. If for nothing else than to watch just Rhea go through Feeble, like the whole Dominic wanting a hug thing. And then she's like, yeah, sure, let's hug. And my favorite part of that is during the whole interaction, Liv gets up, tries to go for Rhea, and Rhea just elbows her in the face and knocks her down. Doesn't even look back, and is like, yeah, sure, yeah, we can hug, yeah, yeah, come here. And then she beats up Dom. Like, it was just great. It was all just really, really, really great. And if Rhea Ripley would like to pin me like that, I would be fine with it. I would not argue with anybody at all. So yeah.
I don't think there'll be arguments from anyone. Anyway.
Yeah, no shame. No shame here. No shame. Rhea wants to do that to me, she can do that to me. No shame at all.
But this was fun. It was a fun match.
This was a fun match.
You got all the interference you needed. It told the right story. I was surprised that they ended up getting the win, but it worked.
It pushed everything in the right direction, I feel like. Like, that was the kind of thing that we saw happen for a lot of these storylines, is it pushed them in the direction that they needed to go. It's almost like they were booked with logic.
I mean, imagine.
And common sense and logic. Who
would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? So yeah. And the final match of the night, your main event for the World Heavyweight Championship, you saw Gunther taking on Randy Orton. It was a very nice touch with Ludwig Kaiser. Very, very, very nice touch. Because he was so over. Oh my God, he was over. The crowd wanted them some Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther as well. Like, I will say this for the German crowd. They showed up. They got the memo. They came prepared. They showed up. They were loud. They were into it the whole night.
Yeah, the crowd will crowd out a lot to the show at the match. A lot of that to Randy's entrance by singing his song. Like, his song repeated like 3 times on the entrance.
He never gets sung to.
And now it's a thing for the last few months, and he's soaking it up. But yeah, this was a lot of holds, a lot of wrestling, mat wrestling a little bit, and then like 10 minutes of Randy playing stair blocks and trying to set up the stairs and hitting an outlet. But it went from just a wrestling match to we're doing a little bit of outside work and a lot of moving up the stairs, but he sold his back really well. Gunther sold his arm the entire time because Randy worked on the right arm, so every time he would try for a powerbomb, he couldn't lift him because his right arm is his dominant arm, couldn't lift, so he had to like improvise in different times with different moves. His clotheslines went from right clotheslines to left arm clotheslines, so like that's like an added detail of storytelling that was really good in this match. It was physical, it was hard-hitting, it was wrestling. Yeah, I thought they had a really good wrestling match. You didn't know, there are moments where you could have had, if circumstances lined up, Randy could have won. But in the end, there wasn't that full believable moment where we all thought Randy would actually do it. But if you're a casual fan and did not know, okay, it's just Gunther and Randy, you're a Randy Orton fan, there are moments you went, okay, he could win here. He can get the win. But Gunther choking him out, putting him to sleep, was the right finish, number one, because it protected Randy, because he passed out, didn't give up, he didn't get pinned. Two, it solved the situation from the King of the Ring, where there was no definitive problem with the pinfall. So it made sure it was a decisive finish. It was, overall, a good, really good wrestling match with a conclusive ending. So Randy can go back to SmackDown. Gunther goes back now to Raw and will be on his way to Sami Zayn. So overall good.
overall, it was very good. I thought it was a great blend of the two styles. Best of all, Randy got all his rest holds in, you know, which is a typical Randy Orton match. The bit with the stairs was a little awkward, but overall, I feel like they did a really good job. They were a very good pairing together. And it was actually more competitive than you thought it would have been. The selling was wonderful.
Yeah, Gunther took a beating.
Gunther took a beating. It was not one-sided. Randy brought his A-game. And yeah, they did. They put on a show. They put on a really, really, really good show to close the night. The crowd was super into it. And what was really nice was after Gunther had won, they gave him that moment with the crowd where he was able to stand in the middle of the German crowd and be victorious. And he's not German, he's Austrian. But the crowd was still into it for him. They were still happy for him and cheering him. So he got to have that moment sort of home country adjacent, because Austria is next to Germany. But maybe some people came over, I don't know. But he still got to have the moment with the crowd, which was cool. Because he doesn't get to work in front of European audiences too much. Although it's growing more frequent.
It is growing. The European crowds are going to be more of a thing. Yeah.
So hopefully he gets more moments like that.
Yeah, it's a good moment. Good moment for everyone. I did like on the kickoff on Friday, Randy did a bit where I did my Ancestry.com profile before we got here. And I'm 70% German. So... to sort of get the crowd to go his way a little bit. I thought that was funny. Overall, good show.
It was a great show. Great offering. And we move forward to... Not Bad Blood. What's the name?
Yeah.
One?
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood?
Yeah.
Are they not doing a show in September?
I mean, they did one August 31st. And doing one October 3rd. I mean, it's like a month.
It's just weird. The timing is weird that they just don't have anything booked for a PLE in September. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining at all. Unlike some people who book two PLEs or pay-per-views or whatever you want to call it within 2 weeks of each other. It's just strange that like WWE doesn't have one booked at all in the month of September.
I mean, they
but
had.
I'll take it.
I mean, they had No Mercy for NXT on Sunday, so it was technically in September.
Are they my friend? Are they really my friend? I don't think so. This is true. They did have that. So they did have something.
They technically have one in September.
Technically. And again, technicalities.
I'm going to say technicalities. They're not going to have one in probably December or January.
Well, they haven't had one in December for a couple of years because reasons. But Rumble's on January?
Rumble's in the first weekend of February because it goes after football weekend. It's like they moved it back a week. I think it's this year. I think Royal Rumble's in February. I think everyone made a big deal about it. Royal Rumble 2025. February 1st. So technically it's in February, not January. But, you know, they're going to have the Netflix stuff for January. It's going to be a big month.
It is going to be a big month, yeah.
And I would assume NXT has an NXT something or other at the start of the year on a Saturday or on a Sunday for a premium live event to fill in the gap. Because I think they have one in December too. So there you go. That's our show.
That is our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Okay. Program note tomorrow. There is no GM battle, so I'm watching the Eagles game. In Puerto Rico. Or Brazil, not Puerto Rico. Brazil.
I was going to say, it's Brazil, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Brazil. Yay, Brazil. Woo! Such a great country to be in right now. Anyway. I want them to tweet us their... Oh. I can't. Anyway. Saturday night, there is no game night because all out. But there will be CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, there's no WTR. It's CB Radio Not So Live Live at 10 p.m. Eastern. As me and Brent will be reviewing all out. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack will be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. What we're doing... We're finally at a point where we're going to have to come up with discussions. So we're going to be in the discussion hour for a few weeks. Because the PLE is not until October. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. Or at facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get the podcast, just search the Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link. It's your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocket Sock or...
Vince M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop when you buy Deadpool, Wolverine,
Fortnite championship skins for the FNCS, whether it's Carol G, whether it's your superhero outfits, whether it's your diesel nitro cars, or I don't know, all the things. There's so much. But we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. Follow me on most of social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, where we have been streaming the brand new update in Genshin Impact for not long. So come check that out. You can also follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard, and you can follow me on TikTok, LynnsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can follow our good buddy Matt over at youtube.com/MBG1211. That's MBG Films. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi, because his content is awesome. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.